It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
What's going on, everybody, and welcome to the latest episode of Building the Board, where I, Robert Schmitz, am here with Danny Meehan, as we're going to go through 10 running backs, starting with some of the most fabulous players in this class. So, Danny, I won't waste any time. Let's talk about the starlet of starlets, one of the best athletes in this draft class, regardless of position. Tell me about Bijan Robinson.
So, Bijan Robinson, 21 years old, 6 feet, roughly 222 or so pounds. We don't have an official measurement yet because we've only got the college stuff. But after, I think I watched 3 games of him, and the first thing that came to mind is he's an instinctive, natural, just an all-around versatile running back who can do pretty much anything and everything that's asked of him to do. He has natural fluid footwork, and he can get himself in and out of tough situations with the best of them. He has what I would call terrific mind-body connection, which for those who might not know is basically proprioception, the ability to feel yourself in space and what's around you. He has this like innate ability to just know what's going on when he's playing football. And it's almost natural, but only the best athletes in the world, amongst the best athletes in the world, really have this sort of like connection that I'm describing with mind and body. He's able to tie together moves. He's got about jump cuts, jukes, spin moves. He's big and powerful with these big, thick legs, and he's got really good top-end speed. And he, to boot, he does finish physically as a tough runner. And you'll see he actually is pretty good on wheel routes and stuff out of the backfield. I wouldn't say he's like some sort of savant wide receiver at the running back position, but he does offer some versatility there. And his hands are seemingly pretty natural. It doesn't look like he's ever fighting against the ball or anything. If I had to really nitpick on him, and it's hard for me to really like say, oh, Bijan Robinson, a guy who's probably a top 15, 20 player in this entire class, it's one of those things like he has the Saquon Barkley thing where he does tend to want to bounce, like because he's such a good athlete, he'll bounce a lot. And he's only a decent blocker. And it's seemingly like that's not something he wants to do. And then you have to like and this kind of goes with the bouncing. He relies a lot on natural gifts a lot of times instead of being a true football player.
That's a great way to put it. I feel like a lot of these super talented players, Danny, don't have to figure out the ins and outs of football until they're really challenged. And I'm not even certain that Bijan's really been challenged quite yet. If there's one thing I'm not even really worried, like I guess just knowledgeable about, it's the fact that Bijan played a very heavy, heavy role in Texas's offense here in his junior season, taking 258 carries, and every football carry in a player's life is one carry that they won't get back. But I mean, when that's what we're talking about, this guy is as good as you're going to get, like you're talking about, when the comparison is that he plays similar to Saquon Barkley. We're talking about a special, special football player. Will he end up being praised as a running back well worth the first round pick? That's a question for the NFL to figure out, but Bijan has put himself in that position where he has earned it. Let's put it that way, right, Danny? Mm-hmm. We're talking about running backs. It's going to be a complicated conversation. Is the running back worth the pick that we say they are? That's a good question, but the running back themselves has played their way into the point where them Bijan drifting past pick 20, 25 is going to make a lot of teams very, very, very anxious to get their shot at him. You know what I mean?
Right, because special football players at the end of the day are special football players. Now, obviously, the wear and tear on the running back's body, given the nature of that position, similar to the other position we'll be breaking down later in the series, linebackers, it's just not conducive to long careers with the level of athletes these guys are anymore, unless you're an absolute special freak of nature, a la Adrian Peterson.
Absolutely. And speaking of somebody that's gotten a slightly lighter load, let's pivot now to who I think is easily the second best running back in the class, Alabama's Jahmyr Gibbs. And I mean, I'll start off with this one, Danny. You talk about Bijan Robinson and all the things he is. I feel like Jahmyr Gibbs is a totally separate player. If Bijan is your old school running back, Jahmyr Gibbs is what you get if you turned a third down back into just good enough at being the feature back that he is your feature back, but he's got all that skill set to play whatever role you want him to. If you split him out, if you keep him in the backfield, I know it's been said before, but Alvin Kamara's role comes to mind. I think Gibbs and Kamara are different actual players, that Kamara is a little bit taller, leaner than Gibbs is, who's more of just a pure speed back in that sense. But all the same, that idea that he can play first, second, third down in the modern NFL is, I think, really critical to his value. And he showed it all throughout this Alabama season, where Alabama just didn't have the receivers to really give Bryce Young the chance to shine. So Gibbs got his chance and showed that he's easily the best receiving back in the class. I'm not really great with comparisons when it comes to running back. I just don't have the data log of guys that I know somebody like you does. But Gibbs, to me, is somebody that if he makes it to the mid-second round, I mean, I can be as, quote, analytics focused as I want to. He's a really, really attractive pick, just given what he'll bring you, a la Austin Eckler and other receiving backs of that ilk.
So that's actually who I kind of thought of when I watched Jahmyr Gibbs, was Eckler a little bit, just a bit bigger. Eckler's kind of shorter, smaller guy. Not like Gibbs is some sort of towering, huge individual, but he's bigger than Eckler is, you know? But Gibbs, similar to what you were saying, to kind of flip the running back position on its head to where it seems to be going, where you almost want a de facto wide receiver playing running back who has game-breaking speed. He does have a natural – he's a natural football player, though. He's decisive as a runner. He doesn't really have much hiccup in his decision-making. When he picks a lane or a hole, he kind of decides, this is where I'm going. He's patient in what he's doing. And it's just – he doesn't really seem to – how do I describe it? He's a little bit like jack of all, master of none kind of thing. Like, he does a lot of things well, but where he butters his bread, to use your term, is in the receiving game and as a game-breaking player who can kind of take the top off of defense, whether it be coming out of the backfield or lining up as a wide receiver in the slot or out wide. Now, you could, nitpicking one of the better running backs in this draft, where's his awareness and pass protection? I don't know. He's kind of just ducking his head and guessing, like, hey, let's do this for this time being. Something that's requisite if you're going to run between the tackles, like you're going to have to do if you want to be a quote-unquote every down back in the NFL, is he lacks strength throughout his whole frame. He runs hard, but he just lacks overall power and strength. And then sometimes his contact balance seems to waver. Like, I don't know, that maybe that's just the overall NFL strength, and maybe you get him in an NFL weight program and start – bulking him up just a little bit, strengthening him up, but I don't want to take away from what makes him special. You know, it's a weird middle ground to kind of cover with him, because you want him to maintain that ability that he has, where he's running away from people in the SEC, the fastest conference in college football, but you also want him to be able to take an NFL punishment and be able to break a tackle here or there.
Absolutely. And we've got to move through our list, so we'll keep going. We'll talk more about Gibbs on another day. But let's talk about the third running back that we've got here, with UCLA's Zach Charbonnet. I'll tell you what, I am crazy about him. What do you think?
I adore Zach Charbonnet. I've said it with Mason West on Bear Bones. I've said it to you pre-show. He's the best fit for this Bears offense in the entire draft. It's fantastic to watch him. He's got top-end speed. He's got a filled-out frame. He's every bit of 220-plus pounds. And it's just – he's a patient, easy running back. Everything looks like he's almost not trying, in a sense. Like, and he doesn't look fast either. It's like he's pulling away from people at top speed, but it doesn't look like he's working that hard to be at that top speed. Right? You know what I'm saying, Robert?
Absolutely.
And then it's like one of those other things, like – one of the biggest things for rookie running backs, for them to get consistent, like, run and tick in early in their careers, is pass protection, because it's such a pass-heavy league. Charbonnet is aggressive. and he is aware in pass protection, and he's willing to put a thump on a blitzing linebacker or an incoming defensive end because he's strong and because he's understanding of what his role is as a running back in the passing game. And he's not a bad receiver, good, not great hands. He wasn't asked to do a lot in the way of running routes, but I don't think he's going to be a negative there in the way like Jordan Howard was, where it's just like, I don't want him doing anything in the receiving game ever. But and I just love his feet. Like, I think I even mentioned it to you pre-show. He actually reminds me a good bit of the way Matt Forte played, where he's this big, upright running back who just plays so much more fluid and smooth than that size would indicate, where you kind of think of a more clunky guy being that big and strong.
Absolutely. It's funny you mentioned Jordan Howard. Again, not the same player at all. But imagine if Jordan Howard had feet that could just go pop, pop, and change direction up to 60, maybe even 75 degrees, and you've got a running back with the skill set of Charbonnet. I'm really, really impressed what he's able to do in the open field. Most importantly, pairing it with the north-south style that he has. But one more thing I'll say about him before we move on. I think out of all the running backs that I watched today, Charbonnet is the best at specifically picking and choosing the angle he takes to the hole to command and control the defenders beyond the line of scrimmage. He's going to set linebackers up for UCLA's offensive line to get out and get their hands on him. And sometimes it frankly makes it look like Charbonnet is just running through open lanes. How hard could that be? And you've got to wonder, why was the lane open? How did two linebackers somehow fail to understand where the hole was? And you watch the path Charbonnet took to get there, and you see he suckered them into position that his right or left guard could jump out to.
Do you know what we call that, Robert? That's called patience and anticipation.
That's sweet.
It's awesome. When you get a guy who fully understands that at that position specifically, it's a thing of beauty. It's like a quarterback, in a way, throwing to where he wants his receiver to be
right
versus where the receiver is.
It's very, very, very natural for somebody like Charbonnet.
Yep.
And speaking of natural, let's talk about one of the highest recruited players at a high school here, talking about former TCU running back, now Ole Miss running back, Zach Evans. Tell me what you think about him.
The first thing I thought of was just a bat out of hell in terms of speed. When he gets up to top gear, he's essentially killing your football geometry, as it were. Because it doesn't matter if you have a pursuit angle on him or the correct tackling lane on him. He can just take it away by virtue of the fact that he's faster than you. And not a little bit faster. He's fast. And he's running away from people. He also tends to make like cuts and jukes and spin moves look really easy. Because he's got these like loose, fluid hips. And he has a lot of dexterity in his ankles, it seems. And for a guy who is that fast, he's not like ill-equipped to run between the tackles. He does run hard when he's asked to run tackle to tackle. Has this good ability to gear up and gear down. So when he's in these like small areas where he's condensed, he's able to either throttle up or pull back to try to make someone run past him, and he can go get right back up to top speed and pull away. And he actually is probably one of the better receivers at this position in the draft class. And he is pretty well versed in route running. Like, he seems to have a pretty natural feel as a route runner versus another running back who we would assume is a great receiver that we'll get to later in this episode. But, you know, I really like Zach Evans, but there's obviously room for improvement. What are your thoughts on him?
Well, Robert? You know, in the old NFL, I'm always thinking about this, Danny. In the old NFL, which was a lot more gap heavy, inside zone was the big zone run of the day, and everything played between the tackles, Zach Evans wouldn't really mean much to me. But that's just not the NFL we're looking at. It's not just the Bears. Pin and pull, outside zone, a lot of these zone or runs that are deliberately trying to stay away from the defensive line, that's like Evans's bread and butter. I mean, talk about a guy who's going to take a pitch on pin and pull and make the most out of it. Like, to use a Bears example, Danny, this is like a even more talented and toolsy version of Khalil Herbert. where all the things that make Khalil Herbert good at what he's good at, plus a lot more awareness in the receiving game, plus a better understanding of how to protect the passer, and plus, like we've talked about before, every single one of his steps contains a mild amount of burst. Is he a two-cut running back? I think he's really more like make one cut and just go, but that's not a bad thing. In fact, that's a very productive runner at a whole lot of levels. The five-star thing, frankly, I think makes him sound a little bit better than I think he is, but he's a name that I'm absolutely watching as we head into the draft because he can play. And staying in the SEC, tell me about what you think of Tank Bigsby, the Auburn running back.
So Tank was someone I was really excited to watch. He was, I believe, the second running back behind Mo Ibrahim, who we'll get to later as well, that I watched in this entire running back class. And the first thing that noticed was the I noticed was his accelerator. He gets from his gets to his version of top speed, his 0 to 60, and seemingly a step and a half, where he's just immediately at top speed. Again, same thing, not quite to the level that Evans does, but he does make football geometry harder on incoming defensive backs and linebackers by just making pursuit angles harder than they need to be, because he is getting to his top speed faster than most guys at the SEC level. The other thing that really stood out, terrific contact balance. When you hit him, you're not going to just – he's not just wavering and getting off of his steps. He is continuing to churn forward and go. But that's because he's a – well – like, it's so funny. Like, we were talking about a pre-show, Robert, that when you see all these guys, they're all, like, between 5'10 and 6'1 and between 200 and 220 pounds. And they're all, like, very similarly listed. But the way that their muscular structure is and how they're built as human beings – is just couldn't be more vastly different. And the way Tank is built is he is really just solidly put together. Now, it's not saying he's a bruising power back, as the name Tank would kind of indicate, but he does have good contact balances, and he finishes his runs hard. And he's actually pretty patient and instinctive, but he does have his other quirks where he's got natural hands, but he's not a good receiver, really. It seemed like most of his stuff came in the swing or the screen game. And he's got really stiff hips and ankles. Like, he's not really putting together moves. He's kind of just running. And that's not entirely his fault. Like, you can't control sometimes the dexterity of your body. Like, there's certain things that you're just born with or not, or born without. And it's kind of like, I don't know how else to explain it, but like robotic. Kind of in the way I evaluated Desmond Ridder last year as a quarterback, he felt very robotic. Like, coach says ball here, coach says if not there, here. The way I feel Tank plays football sometimes as a running back is like, oh, the play is designed to go to the A gap. I must go to A gap. All right. It's like, there is wiggle room there, dude. You can have some natural instinct and feel for playing running back. That being said, I really like Tank. I just don't know what kind of premium you place on him when he's fast but not game-breaking fast. He lacks moves. He's just not sexy, I guess. He's good but not sexy.
I feel like the hardest part about scouting running back, Danny, coming from scouting tight ends, coming from scouting DBs, coming from scouting receivers so that I could understand the DBs, really starting to dig into running back tape showed me that in college, if you're a draftable running back, you are a very good football player. But also, there are like 11 others that are as good, maybe better than you. It's a bizarre position, right? When people say running backs don't matter, they're talking about the fact that Tank Bigsby is an objectively good football player, but that stiffness that you're talking about is a serious limiting factor, when in 10 guys, he's probably got what? The 9th most fluid hips, the 10th most fluid hips in this group of 10. I mean, when you've got a red flag in your game, a lot of other running backs just don't. And that's not to say that I've got a huge problem with Tank or something like you're talking about. I think he's got legit vision. I think when you're battle tested in the SEC, there's only so poor you could be at the next level. But I do feel like if you were looking for upside, you have to look somewhere else. Does that make sense?
I think he comes in and he's a contributing, like, and it sounds so degrading, but like a short yardage, you know, he's going to get you 3 yards if you need 3 yards,
right?
Kind of thing. And it's like, it's not a knock on him. He's going to play in the NFL probably for 4 or 5 plus years, but he just lacks the requisite oomph of something.
Right. The tools. And speaking of tools, let's talk about Twitter's favorite running back, Tulane's Tajay Spears. 5'11", 194, 22 years old. What do you think, Danny?
The Twitter draft darling. And I'll be honest, I like him. I don't like him the way draft Twitter does, because I have questions and I've got issues. But let's start with the absolute undeniable lightning in a bottle athlete that he is. When he gets daylight, it's like the old Gale Sayers quote, I need 18 inches of daylight. That's all I need. Because if he gets it, he could go the distance. It's fun as hell. It's like there's nothing in terms of speed that he can't do. I think he's a smooth, fluid running back and mover. Like, he doesn't really seem to have much issue flipping his hips or turning or juking or making a move, stringing together moves like a boxer strings together a punching combo. Like, it's just – he's just able to do things with his body. He kills DBs. It's one thing to kill linebackers in pursuit, but he kills DBs even because of that speed. It's so funny when I look through my strengths of him. It's all just different ways of saying he's just supremely fast and athletic. And I actually think he's a pretty creative, like, water bug type runner. I have, and this is where then it kind of flips. I don't know if he's got any other gear but go fast as I can every single time. He's not like the most creative in terms of I know how to throttle up, throttle down, make this guy think I'm doing this, but really I'm doing, like, setting himself up. This is how I run. This is what I'm going to do because it's worked my whole life, you know?
Oh, yeah.
So, and then the guy I was alluding to earlier, you would assume he's probably a really good receiver at running back. And that's not the case. He's got pan hands, as some would say. He's fighting the football. He doesn't really do much as a receiver in general. He was purely a running back, and he's 5'9" and 200 pounds. Like, that's diminutive for a guy who probably should be more of a receiving back in a stable of running backs than he should be taking carries the way he would probably have to given his skill set at this point in time.
I'll tell you that if there's one thing, just to go to bat for him a little bit, that I really think gives Tajay a chance going forward, it's the fact, and by a chance, I mean like where I think he differentiates himself from a lot of guys that sound like who you're describing, is that he is fearless compared to guys his size between the tackles. And maybe most importantly, I've seen him, as he presses the hole, he'll look to that second level. He'll find somebody that he can try to get or to pull into one. Say he's got a choice between a right side lane and a left side lane as he enters through the hole. He'll try to pull the guy out of the run fit so that he can then break loose and, like you're talking about, make a single, a triple, right? Even a home run in some cases if he catches a break. Because after and all,
to his credit, to kind of like piggyback on what you're saying, he's not one of these guys like Bijan was in one of his only if his only negative, he doesn't try to bounce everything.
Right.
He does not. He is willing to take, oh, I'm supposed to be running a duos or whatever they're running on a given play. He is willing to run it and set it up.
Mm-hmm.
He is fearless. The problem with being fearless at that size is that gets you hurt.
Yes. The other thing that I'll give Tajay credit for is in the games that I watched, I mean, Danny, I was amazed at how many times I'd crack open a running back's tape. I'll use an example, Eric Gray, who we're literally right about to talk about. And I've got 7 total minutes of footage. And then I crack open, say, Zach Evans tape, and I have 19 total minutes of footage because these guys are playing 65% of the game. And then you put on Tajay's, you got 35 minutes of footage because he was in the entire
game.
And I'll give a guy a major hat tip for being a true 3-down running back, even in college. Another thing, Danny, that I can't help but go to bat for when it comes to the human element is that when you're an SEC 5-star running back, when you're even a Big 12 high or like big program running back, you have the coaches there that are already thinking next level, that are telling you, okay, we got to work on your hands because at the next level, they're going to need it and we're going to need it here too. And at Tulane, I just don't know if a 3-star recruit has the foresight to be thinking anything other than I'm trying to be the best football player I can be. When I look at Spears, I think his route running gives him a path to being a very good receiver. He's not one now, but I'm not drafting him for who he is at 22. I'm drafting him for who he is at 24, at 25, and or just like every other position. And so I think he's got a lot more electricity. That lightning in a bottle is hard to find. But like you're talking about, everybody keeps making him out like he's a slam dunk. And it's not quite like that. It's more like everybody's favorite sleeper.
It's funny because it's like you would think I'm talking about a sixth rounder. I'm looking at my notes right now. I have a tentative late four on him. Like,
right.
That's a second day running back.
Exactly.
It's amazing how you could just frame it, because you and I are essentially saying, like you said, the same thing, just in different lights.
Exactly. Exactly. And speaking of, let's keep moving. Let's talk about one of my favorite running backs from all the watching that I did today. I loved Eric Gray out of Oklahoma. I mean, I don't even know why I love him. I just do. What do you think?
You know what? I'm just going to give you the top strength I wrote down, and then I'll let you get into it after I did it, and I'll follow you up. But the literal first bullet point on my little breakdown of him is barbarian, and I'll let you do with that what you will, and I'll let you go. But that's just the first thing I thought of when I was watching him play football.
Honestly, after watching so much David Montgomery, and I'm just going to give everybody a trigger warning here because I don't hate David Montgomery. It's just,
why do you hate David Montgomery?
Let's be real. The biggest difference between David Montgomery and Khalil Herbert is their first step. And if David Montgomery could have Khalil Herbert's first step, if they could share that first step, David Montgomery would already have a contract extension because there's so many other things that he does well. And so what first caught my eye about Gray is that he's got a great first step with the ball in his hands. Then he's got great ability to cut. Like, he's got a one cutbacks cutting ability, but he can do it more than once. Really, really wonderful, buttery smooth 50-degree, 55-degree cuts. Get your protractor out and take a look at how hard a change of direction that is, and you'll see that that's a special cut, and it helps him set up blockers really, really well. Then you get to the contact balance. Then you get to his ability to get skinny in the hole when things get really tight. I'll tell you what, Danny. He doesn't have a fifth gear. Sometimes I don't even know if he has a fourth gear, but he gets up to that like third and a half, fourth gear very, very quickly. He's not the kind of guy that's going to be outracing Roquan Smith in the open field, but I do think he's somebody that could slash in an outside zone setting, in an inside zone setting, and get you 7, 10, 12 yard chunks. And if you did pass the ball to him, because he has, to me, the movement capability to be a good receiver. Oklahoma just didn't throw the ball much, at least to him. I'm interested. I'm really interested in Gray. I wouldn't probably draft him before round four, but he's one of those guys that I would imagine that, I bet I could steal this guy, make him a star. You know what I'm talking about?
Okay, so the way you described him at the end reminds me actually of another Oklahoma running back who everyone thought was like the next coming of, if I could just get him in the fifth or sixth round, we could just fix him and our NFL training staff and our doctors will make things happen. And that was Rodney Anderson. Now, I'm not saying player-wise. Rodney Anderson was much more of a home run hitter at the peak of his powers, and unfortunately his body betrayed him, and that happens a lot in sports. You know, as Chicagoans, we go to Derrick Rose. It's the tale of what might have been had those knees not betrayed him. But I digress. I like Eric Gray just like you, and I let off with the barbarian statement. And then it's just like I have this – he's this physical, grueling, punishing runner. And he's – like you said, he's making these razor-sharp cuts, and almost cuts that don't seem geometrically possible for him to maintain the speed he does coming out of them. But like you said, I think he does maybe have a third and a half gear in a way, kind of like Khalil Herbert is, where he's like he gets to top speed, but he's not pulling away. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with being a chunk play running back. You can have a nice long career doing that. The next thing I had on my list was the first step giddy up and his stop start ability. He doesn't seem to lose much speed even when he's juking or cutting. He just seems to be so naturally in tune with how he's supposed to run and his biomechanics in terms of how he gets to those speed. But then the weaknesses, top end speed. I don't think he's all that elusive. Like, he's got his jump cuts and stuff, but I don't see him like making guys miss, as it were. He's just barreling ahead at times. But, and then his age, he's 23. I think he'll be 24 at some point in his rookie year. So I really like Eric Gray. He's probably my first or second favorite watch of the group of 10 that we're going through today, because he's just, it's pure enjoyment, like just of how he runs and the aesthetic of which he runs.
I can't help but feel like the one tool that Gray has to avoid people, he's got a nice phone booth juke where he'll hit you with a head fake one way and just slide his hips just far enough out of the way mm-hmm. that he can clear past you. And it's not that it's that consistent, but I mean, come on, Danny, you and I both know that the NFL running back isn't quite like it is in Madden, where it's as simple as just pop, 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 beating guys, breaking tackles. There are plenty of runners where if you can mm-hmm. break one tackle, that's the difference between 35 yards and a mere five at times in the NFL. But I'm very curious to see how Gray translates, because he's somebody that, even though I know he's 23, normally that'd be a no-no, Danny. But in the NFL, running backs got to contribute quick. If you're not mm-hmm. hitting the ground running, pun intended, I guess, then what are you doing? And so somebody like Gray, I think, gets a bit more of a pass for age than somebody than he would say Valus Jones. You know, we're all thinking it, right? But we got to move on. We got to move on. So let's get to one of the more interesting players in this class, in Keaton Mitchell. Real small, 5'9", 184, three-star recruit coming out of college. What do you think?
Diminutive, very, very itty-bitty. And it's funny because I feel like that's how running backs are tending to go more, where you're trying to get these more receiving specialists back. And the player comp I kept thinking of when watching him, because almost all of his damage is done out of the backfield as a receiver, not being split out wide, it feels like. And it's like Theo Riddick, where if Theo Riddick was in the game for those like 2010s Detroit Lions, it's like you knew he was going to be going out for a pass pattern out of the backfield. And there's nothing wrong. Theo Riddick had a nice long career. Keaton Mitchell is, I think, a little more game-breaking and fast coming out of Eastern Carolina than Theo was out of Notre Dame. And I think he's close to an elite level catcher of the football coming out of the backfield. And he has shown some route running acumen, where I think you can coach him up and make him more dynamic if you're going to do like the receiving first running back kind of thing. Whereas like you and I have talked about it, David Montgomery is almost like a receiving first running back. Like, that's his best trait, is the fact that he's a really good wide receiver.
Flat special.
He's not the most powerful running back, but when he does take the handoff, he seems to run with a natural leverage and pad level to himself. He finishes his runs hard. It's not his fault he's 184 pounds, you know?
No.
Some guys just are slightly built.
And you're right, but in the NFL, they don't really care how big and fast you are. If you've got the ball, they're coming for you.
They're going to kill you. Yeah, they're coming to kill you.
One thing that I want more of with Keaton Mitchell, and if he had this, I'd feel way more comfortable putting a guy who's literally lighter than Tariq Cohen out on the football field, is jaggedness in his movement. Say what you will about Montgomery's first step, every step he takes is relatively jagged. It's what makes him such a nightmare with the ball in his hands in open space. You functionally can't tackle him. Like, he's got such an incredible, he being Montgomery, first broken tackle rate because of that sudden jagged movement. And Mitchell, to me, is smooth as it gets. This is not a good thing. You hear smooth a lot in football and you associate it with good things, but his cuts are not angular. They are round, both in the receiving game from what I've seen and mm-hmm. the ball in his hands. And while that's fine at East Carolina, we didn't get the chance to see him in the SEC, and we definitely haven't gotten the chance yet to see him in the NFL. And when Fred Warner's tracking you down, I think he can catch somebody who's cutting round. But that's just where translation, honestly, I don't have enough experience, Danny, evaluating, quote unquote, the player, not the helmet, when we're talking about running backs, because running back is a position where you just get chased no matter where you are. And watching in the SEC or even the Big 12 in some cases is a little easier when I could say that's DeMarvion Overshown, that's NFL speed. But when mm-hmm. Navy is running you down in many cases, what am I supposed to say? And how am I supposed to feel? Because to give him some credit, Mitchell's fast in a straight line. In fact, I would say that all that lack of angular cutting comes from the fact that he's developed his body much like a sprinter. It's just that 5'9" forward sprinters in the NFL don't have as much of a place as guys like, to use a deliberate example from our list, Zach Charbonnet, who's a bigger, just as fast, maybe just a little less fast, but can do so many more things for you that, I mean, I know Charbonnet is going to get picked much higher, but you and I both know, Danny, at the end of the day, the depth chart is the depth chart, and the depth chart doesn't care whether you were a UDFA, a second round pick, or whether you just got paid $15 million. It probably cares a little bit if you just got paid $15 million.
Unless your name is Matt Flynn, then Pete Carroll doesn't care.
Yeah. Keaton Mitchell is the kind of guy that I think there's something there, but it's not ironically.
It's a hard path because he's going to have to contribute on special teams too. And he's
right.
And he is diminutive. And the other things, like kind of like to what you were saying, at that size, he has no ability to block or break tackles. Like, I think people, I want to put this little public PSA, public service announcement out. When I say you finish runs, you can finish runs forward and also not be able to break a tackle. Keaton finishes his runs forward or does what he can. He doesn't stop churning his legs. He's never going to break a tackle because he's small.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the hard part gets. And he's not just little. He's rail thin. Like, he is not a big football player. And then the big thing, especially for a guy listed at running back, I have written down minimal inside ability, seeming lacking confidence.
Mm-hmm.
Again, it's another way of saying he's small. Mm-hmm. And you know what though? It's one of those things. Small guys know they're small. Like, it's not like, I always go back to last year because Jahan Dotson always will stick out in my brain as the guy who's 5'11", but plays wide receiver like he's 6'5".
Mm-hmm.
He's a rabid dog playing wide receiver. And it's like, you can't make someone have that wiring if they're not a certain mentality, especially at running back, where so much of your damage has to be done working between the tackles, and he can't do it.
Exactly. But let's talk about somebody who does have that killer instinct. Oh. I mean, I'll tell you what, Danny. Mo Ibrahim is, I know that's a corny thing. Everybody's heard from their high school coach. This is a guy I want to go to war with. I mean, it's not about the tools. It's about how he uses them. Mo Ibrahim is a guy who I don't think his vision is particularly fabulous. Might be some of the worst of the guys that we've talked about.
Similar to that football robot thing. Coach said, ball goes here. Okay, ball is going.
Coach said you're hitting the B gap, and he hits the B gap, and boy, does he hit the B gap. I mean, if he has the chance to set his guy up and try to get around him, he's going to. His balance is solid, but really his violence stands out among a bunch of violent football players. This guy wants to hurt you. He wants to fight you. It's his identity. He's a little on the older side, but if you're looking for a late round contributor that's going to come in and give you a great first contract, I can't help but feel like Mo Ibrahim is the kind of guy, Danny, that especially if he develops a little bit as a receiver, because you know what? There's an inkling of something there that he could be the kind of guy that comes in, starts as your short yardage back, develops into your first and second down back, and maybe even captures himself a feature role. I don't know. You watch a guy play as hard as he does against teams like Ohio State, completely fearless behind a Minnesota offensive line that, yes, you had JMS, but you're obviously outgunned at times, and it's hard not to fall in love.
It was him tied with Eric Gray is my favorite running back to watch. So my all-time favorite running back highlight in all of college football is actually at LSU with Leonard Fournette, where he takes the ball around the outside, and instead of running out of bounds, you see him veer back into traffic, and he waves on the defender like, hey, bring it on. And he ends up getting tackled. Like, that's the best part of the highlight. Like, he waves him on. He's like, let's go. And he ends up getting tackled. Like, you lost, but I kind of dig it. And Mo Ibrahim has that same thing. Like, if Eric Gray is a barbarian, this guy's a gladiator.
Yeah.
You know, it's almost like, oh, this is a gunfight, Mo. Well, I'm going to bring a knife. because I just want to make this a little more fun for myself. And like you said, he's no nonsense. He's downhill. He's actually got really soft hands. He's not really developed as a receiver, kind of like you were saying, but he does have soft hands. Like he's not Tajay Spears trying to catch a football. It's like, dude, it's not like going to hurt you. Just pluck it out of the air. Not much in the way of moves. He's a little stiff, kind of like the robotic thing you were saying. Coach said B gap. All right, so B gap it is. I'm not going to deviate. This is what the coach wants, right? However, one thing I do enjoy watching when he gets ahead of steam built up, his straight arm or his stiff arm, whatever you want to call it, it is angry, it is violent, and it's like he's trying to dribble the opponent off the ground when he unleashes himself. And it's probably because he is an older running back. He's surprisingly good as a blocker. Like, he is willing to stick his nose in. He'll punish oncoming defenders who are trying to get to his quarterback, or if he is the designed run blocker for someone else. And just kind of like you were saying, there is an inkling of ability to be a receiver. Not polished yet. It's just occasionally he caught a swing pass or a screen pass. His vision is blah.
But if Mike Davis can get drafted in the fourth round, so can Mo Ibrahim. Third round might be a little bit rich for him, but I think the fourth round makes total sense. I really see Mike Davis. I mean, I have written in my notes to go to what you're saying about violence that, like, you get three snaps in and you're like, oh, so it's like that. I mean, there are some runners where he's playing football, and then there are some runners where their violence transcends the game, and you're like, are you doing okay?
like, sir, who hurt you?
Yeah, but you love having it. And let's get to our final running back, the 6'2", 225 Illini.
Just one thing, kind of like I said earlier, when I forget who it was off the top of my head. Jahmyr Gibbs, I think, was almost – no, not Jahmyr Gibbs. It was Evans, I think, was zone-dependent. I think that might be an issue for Mo Ibrahim, where I think he might be almost exclusively power or gap-dependent, where you can't ask him to put foot in ground and cut upfield. Like, it's kind of just like, we're running duos. Good. I like it.
Duo, power, or, G-lead, like, a lot of
things. ISO. How about just ISO?
ISO.
Just the purest form of old school football. Here you go. Here's just a little halfback dive up the A gap.
Absolutely. And let's finish out with our 10th running back, a Chicago local, kind of, in that he played for the Illini. So tell me about Chase Brown, because I actually did not get to him.
So Chase Brown, if you said I could have any mid-round running back to fit with the Chicago Bears, it would probably be Chase Brown. I actually picked him in the very first rendition of the mock draft series Mason and I are doing over at Bare Bones. He was actually one of Bruce Feldman's freaks list. I believe he was number 39 coming into the season on that freaks list. So he's apparently a pretty good athlete. We don't have testing numbers or anything on him just yet. I know he was down at the Senior Bowl. You could attest to what he did down there better than I could. But the first thing that really jumps off the screen, which is like the polar opposite of Mo, is that his vision is impeccable. He's patient. He's reading the gaps, and he's letting the blocks develop in front of him, and then he's hitting the hole. He's very anticipatory. Like, when he makes his decision and he thinks it's the right one, he's going to put his foot in the ground. He's going to cut up field, and, like, it's time to go. He's not really a developed route runner yet, but he is a – like, it seems like he was born catching the football, like the way you watch him just pluck the ball out of the air. Like, it's very just seemingly, like, second nature to him. Like, just, oh, ball's in air. I'm just going to take this and secure it. This is mine now. And in a lot of the ways that Eric Gray was, very noticeable first step. When he gets that, it's like, up, field, go now. I think he could be scheme diverse, but I would almost want him to stay almost exclusively, like, outside zone heavy. Then you get to some of the weaknesses with him that I noticed. Good, not great blocker. Contact balance is sometimes sketchy for a guy who's pretty well put together, 5'11", 215 pounds. I mean, but and then he's nothing about, like, he was on the freaks list, so I'm not wondering if he's an excellent leaper or something like that, or just a weight room junkie. But he's not running away from people. Like, he's the consummate, like, hey, you got 7 yards a carry and it was legitimately like 7 yards a carry or 6 yards a carry or whatever it might be. It's not like I'm trying to think of like a running back who it's like 1 yard, 2 yards, 3 yards, 1 yard, 76 yards. Oh, okay. Like he ran for 100 yards on 12 carries. Yeah, but one run was 78 yards. Like
that's every running back eventually, right? Matt Forte had a bunch of those games.
Yeah. But and then the big one, which worries me, is ball security. He had, I want to say, 6 fumbles in 2022.
Oh, wow.
And that's a problem. Like you want the ball, you want to be carrying it between the tackles and running the outside zone and being a potential every down back. You got to hold on to the football.
Mm-hmm.
You want a good way to get into a coach's doghouse real fast? It's lose the football. That's my – like, I really like Chase Brown. Like, I think he was the third leading rusher in all of Power 5 football this year, if memory serves. So – and I know he would make the locals happy because we have such a large segment of Big Ten and Illini grads in the Chicagoland area.
Right. The people love it. Collecting all kinds of Golden Domers and hometown heroes. Who doesn't want to? But, Danny – thank you so much for sitting down with me, talking through some running backs. We'll get these grades posted on the board as soon as the board is up. We're still working on that, so thank you for being patient. But until then, folks, thanks so much for hanging out with us. Let us know in the comments what you think about where we have a lot of these guys, and we'll see you in the next one.